I'm going to ask you to turn to Leviticus chapter 11. Again, some of you, as you turn to Leviticus, you have to pull the pages apart. Others of you are settling back for a good nap because that's what you normally do when you get to Leviticus. But of course, we've been reminding ourselves as we've gone through this study, looking at the journey of the nation of Israel as they have left Egypt back in the beginning of the book of Exodus and as they made their way into the wilderness. And we've been following them along. But as we read in Romans 15:4, these things were written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. We also know in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 that we're reminded that the things that happened to them were for examples, and they're written for our admonition, our exhortation. This is for our benefit, and that includes the truths that we have shared with us in the book of Leviticus as well. We've already had several studies in the book of Leviticus. We've considered, you know, some of the sacrifices that the priest were to offer on behalf of themselves and on behalf of the people. We've seen how they represented the Lord Jesus Christ. The priests were the ones who were able to draw near to God, what the choir sang about this morning. That nearness to God. What a wonderful privilege for everyone who knows the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. Because according to 1 Peter chapter 2, everyone who knows the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior is a priest, has the privilege of drawing near to God. And the book of Leviticus is written for the priest. It's for the benefit particularly of the priest in that day, for Israel, but again, we're finding that it's also for us. And we're going to read several passages this morning, beginning in Leviticus 11. 11, we're going to start out, and we're going to read some passages, and you will notice, as we do, a recurring phrase and theme. So watch for that. Leviticus 11, verse 1, "And the Lord spake unto Moses and to Aaron, saying unto them, Speak unto the children of Israel, saying, These are the beasts which ye shall eat among all the beasts that are on the earth. Whatsoever parteth the hoof, and is cloven-footed, and cheweth the cud, among the beasts, that shall ye eat. Nevertheless, these shall ye not eat of them that chew the cud, or of them that divide the hoof, as the camel, because he cheweth the cud, but divideth not the hoof. He is unclean unto you." Now, with that in mind, go down to verse 43. We're going to jump past a lot of these dietary instructions. But notice here in verse 43, as he continues to speak of these animals that were clean for them to eat and the ones that were unclean, they should not eat. "Ye shall not make yourselves abominable with any creeping thing that creepeth, neither shall ye make yourselves unclean with them, that ye should be defiled thereby. For I am the Lord your God. Ye shall therefore sanctify yourselves, and ye shall be holy, for I am holy. Neither shall ye defile yourselves with any manner of creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth, for I am the Lord that bringeth you up out of the land of Egypt to be your God. Ye shall be holy, for I am holy. This is the law of the beast and of the fowl and of every living creature that moveth in the waters and of every creature that creepeth upon the earth, to make a difference between the unclean and the clean, and between the beast that may be eaten and the beast that may not be eaten." Now we're going to go to chapter 19. Chapter 19, and we're going to see some of these same thoughts, not concerning dietary instructions, but we're going to see concerning other instructions. We're going to see some of the same themes brought out. Notice here in chapter 19, we're just going to read the first two verses. "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, and say unto them, Ye shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy." Now over to chapter 20, the next chapter. We continue the instructions to the priest, which they are to pass on to the people. Leviticus chapter 20 and the 7th verse, we read, "Sanctify yourselves, therefore, and be ye holy, for I am the Lord your God, and ye shall keep my statutes and do them. I am the Lord which sanctify you." Down to verse 22 of the same chapter, 22. Ye shall therefore keep all my statutes and all my judgments and do them, that the land whither I bring you to dwell therein spew you not out. And ye shall not walk in the manners of the nation which I cast out before you, for they committed all these things, and therefore I abhorred them. But I have said unto you, ye shall inherit their land, and I will give it unto you to possess it, a land that floweth with milk and honey. I am the Lord your God, which have separated you from other people. Ye shall therefore put difference between clean beast and unclean, and between unclean fowls and clean. And ye shall not make your souls abominable by beast, or by fowl, or by any manner of living thing that creepeth on the ground, which I have separated from you as unclean. And ye shall be holy unto me, for I, the Lord, am holy, and have severed you from other people, that ye should be mine. You noticed the theme. I know you did. Be holy. Of course, he was talking to the Israelite people under the law. Be holy. Sanctify yourself. Set yourself apart because I've set you apart. Follow my instructions. Be very careful. The reason? Because the Lord is holy. We're going to come back to Leviticus 20. I promise that. Hold your place here and go to 1 Peter. As we said, these things were written for our learning, and God does not leave us to our own devices. He gives us instruction in the New Testament that reminds us that even though we are not under the law that was given through Moses to the people of Israel, though we are not under that law, yet God still has a heart for our holiness. And we see that made very clear in 1 Peter chapter 1, and we'll start in verse 13. Without a lot of comment on this passage right now, we want to read it just to show us the relevance for us today in this age of grace, in the church age in which we live. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 13, "Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation," or literally lifestyle or behavior. Verse 16, "because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy." We don't live under the law. We've seen in our study what the purpose of the law was. It was to show us our need of a Savior, our need of the Lord Jesus Christ, who was prophesied to come and has come and has given His life as a ransom, was buried and rose again and is back in heaven now. And there at the right hand of God, He has sent forth the Holy Spirit to indwell us, and He has given us His Word, His heart. And He says, even though you're not under the restrictions dietarily and the clothing restrictions and other things that I had put over the nation of Israel to distinguish them from other nations, though you are not under those laws, yet my heart for you is the same. Be ye holy, for I am holy. Holiness on the journey. Be ye holy. That ye there in the King James, the plural. All of you believers, all of you who know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, that may include you, that may not. I hope that it does, and I trust that if it doesn't now, that it will by the end of this meeting this morning. But the ye speaks of every believer in the Lord Jesus, everyone who's been forgiven of their sins and brought into the family of God. And He says, be ye holy because I am holy. That's what the Lord says. In Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 3, Isaiah there in the temple hears those angels crying one to another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory." In our age, the church age, in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 7, John hears the voice of the one whom he describes as he that is holy, he that is true. It's the Lord Jesus walking among the churches, watching the functioning of the local assemblies of believers in Him, watching the individual lives. He is the one who is holy. He is the one who is true. In Revelation chapter 4, speaking of a future day in heaven, but illustrating what is going on in heaven even now in many ways, we see these angelic beings, and they rest not day and night, saying, "Holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. And His holiness is eternal, without beginning. His holiness is present, and His holiness is future, without end. And the one who is holy says, 'You be holy.'" What does it mean to be holy? That's a short word in the English language, a number of letters, but wow, holy. Literally, it means to be set apart, to be separated. And as we study the Word of God and we see how God Himself is fully separated, set apart from all of creation, God is eternal. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, set apart from us. There's no sin in Him. There is no tendency to sin in Him. There is no ability to sin in Him. There is perfection in Him. He is the infinite one, the eternal one. He is the holy one, the unique one, the set apart one. And He looks down upon us, those who know the Lord Jesus, who He has called out, and we have responded to that call. Whosoever will may come, and we have come by faith to Him, and we have trusted His Son, the Lord Jesus, for forgiveness and eternal life, and we've been made new creations in Christ. He said, you're holy, and I want you to be holy. Set apart from sin. And whenever we find ourselves set apart from, always remember that set apart from includes a set apart to. We're set apart from sin to righteousness. From that which is wrong in the sight of God to that which is right in the sight of God. We are set apart, we are separated from this world system in which we live, represented by Egypt in our study. And the children of Israel were taken out of Egypt. And of course, we're still in the world, but we're not of the world. We're to be separate. We're to be set apart. God has called us out to Himself. We live in the world, and yet we're separate from the world. We're separated to the heavenlies. That's where we dwell, in the heavenly places in Christ. Yes, we still live here. Yes, we still work here. Yes, we still function here. But we do so with our hearts and minds on things above, not on things on the earth. We're separated from ourselves, from this old self, from this person who is still selfish in his old nature. We're separated from self unto God. Of course, there's that positional holiness. Just like the UNC Tar Heels, they are the Tar Heels. They were the number one seed in the tournament, expected to win the whole thing. That was their position coming into the tournament, but they had to play the tournament. They had to act out what they were in their position. There had to be a practical outworking of their position. And positionally, before God, those who will come to God by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, who will turn from trusting in themselves and their own ability and their own good works or anything else that they may trust in, when they will turn away and turn to God, He says, "I declare you holy. You are now set apart to Me." You're set apart. Positionally holy. Positionally pure. That is your standing. Even to the church in Corinth, and if you know anything about the church in Corinth from the letters that Paul was led by the Spirit to write to them, you know that there was much dishonor to the name of God going on in that local assembly, and it was not being dealt with. And so Paul said, I'm going to write you a letter and I'm going to give you instructions, for which we're very thankful today. But we would read that letter and we'd say, now there's a church where the believers are not holy. Positionally, here's how God addresses them. As he begins that letter through Paul's pen, 1 Corinthians 1:2, unto the church of God which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, set apart, separated, holy, called saints. Set apart ones, holy ones. Positionally, we are holy. But what about practically? That's where the study this morning comes in. That's what God was talking about to the nation of Israel. That's what he's speaking of in 1 Peter chapter 1. Be ye holy. Because positionally, believers are holy. But what about practically? Do our lives live out the reality of our position? 1 Thessalonians 4:7, for God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. That holiness is pictured by purity, is pictured by cleanliness, by cleansing, by spotlessness, by blamelessness. And we read here in 1 Peter chapter 1, that we are to be holy in all manner of conversation, in all manner of behavior, in every area of life. God is calling, be holy. God is not suggesting. God is not thinking it might be a good idea or letting you make your decisions. He says, you be holy. You live a separated life. You live a life of purity. You live a life that is different. And C.S. Lewis wrote, how little people know who think that holiness is dull. When one meets the real thing, it is irresistible. And you know what? Those of us who know the Lord Jesus, when we see that holiness in the Lord Jesus, we are drawn to Him. And when people look at you and they see the reality of a life that is lived in this world, but it is a set apart life, it is a separated life, it is a pure life, it is a clean life, they are attracted to that. Yes, there is the reality that the darkness does not want the light and will run away, but there is something within them that recognizes a difference. And if they're honest with themselves, they realize that is something that they don't have. That they don't have. The context of Leviticus 11 and all the way up through 20, where we read it, was instructions from God under the law concerning diet, concerning childbirth, concerning leprosy, a skin disease, concerning blood, concerning morality, and other commands. And God uses this context, as we've seen, to repeatedly exhort them and us to holiness, to separation, to apartness. This morning we'd like to go back to Leviticus chapter 20. I'm going to ask you to go back there. As I said, we'll be drawing some truths here from Leviticus chapter 20. And what we want to look at very briefly are three necessities for holiness. I'm not saying these are the only three necessities for holiness. And I want to make it very clear from the outset that holiness is not something that we achieve in our own strength. It's not something that by our own willpower we say, I'm going to live a life that is different, a life that is clean, a life that is pure. We don't do that in our own strength. It's by the Spirit of God. And if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, you don't have the Spirit of God, and you cannot live a holy life. But if you are a believer in the Lord Jesus, you've been born again, then you have the Spirit of God living within you, and you have the ability to live a life of holiness on your journey. And that's God's desire. It's only by the power of God. The first essential, if there's going to be a holy life, and I'm trying to be very practical here, if there's going to be a life that's different, first of all, there must be discernment. There must be discernment. Leviticus chapter 20, look again at verse 25. Ye shall therefore put difference between clean beast and unclean. We read that back also in chapter 11 in verse 47. Make a difference. It's the same Hebrew word here as we have in verse 25 of chapter 20. Put difference or make a difference. Literally distinguish. Joe Stowell, formerly of Moody Bible College, said, discernment in Scripture is the skill that enables us to differentiate. It is the ability to see issues clearly. We desperately need to cultivate this spiritual skill that will enable us to know right from wrong. We must be prepared to distinguish light from darkness, truth from error, best from better, righteousness from unrighteousness, purity from defilement, and principles from pragmatics. Discernment. God shows it right here. You must be able to distinguish under the law for the Israelite people. You must be able to distinguish the difference between an animal that is clean. Hey, that's okay to eat that. You can have that for dinner. But here are some animals that are unclean. You're not to eat those. You're not to eat those. There's a necessity of distinguishing between what is unclean and what is clean. I'd like to take you again to the New Testament. We're coming back to Leviticus. Hang on to that. Mark chapter 7. Mark chapter 7, the Lord Jesus addressed this very principle when he was here on the earth. And he made it clear that these dietary laws had their purposes. They were pictures. They were pictures. There's some health-related things involved in that. God doing that for our good. But there are pictures for us in the church age. And in Mark chapter 7, the Lord Jesus speaks to people who thought, if I just eat the right things and don't eat the wrong things, I'm holy. I'm set apart to God. I'm pure. God says, no, that's not the issue. That was a picture for you. Learn the lesson from the object lesson. But down here in Mark chapter 7 in verse 14, we read of the Lord Jesus. When he had called all the people unto him, he said unto them, hearken unto me, every one of you, and understand. There is nothing from without or outside a man that entering into him can defile him. But the things which come out of him, those are they that defile him. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. And when he was entered into the house from the people, his disciples asked him concerning the parable. And he saith unto them, are ye so without understanding also? Do ye not perceive that whatsoever thing from without entereth into the man, it cannot defile him, because it entereth not into his heart, but into the belly, and goeth out into the drought, purging all meats. And he said, that which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man. For from within, out of the heart, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man. The Lord Jesus makes it very clear that the food that you take into your body, that is not what determines whether or not you are holy. The foods that you abstain from, don't allow them into your body. That is not going to be a determination of whether or not you were set apart from the world and from sin and from self to righteousness, the heavenlies, and God. He said, that's not it, because that is going into your stomach. He said, what really matters is not what's in your stomach. It's what's in your heart. He said, that's what matters. You see, it's the heart. It's an issue of the heart. Romans 14, 17 says, the kingdom of God is not food and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. It's not what's in your belly. It's what's in your heart. And what's in your heart? The things that he lists here, those things are in our hearts. Why are they in our hearts? Because we're born of the line of Adam, every one of us. Everybody here could, if you could trace your lineage back far enough, we'd all end up. We're all related. Adam and Eve. And Adam sinned. And through Adam, he has passed down to us a nature, a bent toward evil, a bent toward self, a bent toward sin, a bent toward this world system, a bent toward listening to what Satan would tell us to do. And that old nature has within our hearts the seeds of every sin. So it's what's in the heart that's going to come out. So you can see, if you're left to your own devices to keep that from coming out, and that's all you've got to work with, this is going to come out. But when we trust the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, the Spirit of God comes to live within us. He makes us new. We have the divine nature of God in the person of the Holy Spirit indwelling us. We are new creations in Christ. And now we've got that battle going on between those natures, the old nature and the new nature. And for the believer on his or her journey through this life, not what comes into the belly, but what comes into the heart is going to have an impact on what comes out of the life. Holiness. These things that the Lord Jesus listed here, we look at them and we say, that's unholiness. That's not holiness. Unholiness is coming out of that life. In all manner of life, we're to be holy as He is holy, holy, holy. The Lord God Almighty, we're to be holy. And so it's what comes into our hearts, through our ears, through our eyes, in our minds, what we dwell on, that is going to come into our heart. And that is going to impact what comes out. Are we feeding those seeds of the old nature in our hearts by what we're bringing in? There must be discernment. There must be discernment. Some things are very clear in the Word of God, and God says, do not do this. And it's very clear. And all through the New Testament, the commandments are given. Don't steal. Don't lie. Don't commit adultery. And of course, the Lord Jesus goes on beyond that. And He says, hey, it's what's going on in your mind too. It's not only what's going on physically with your body. So there are things that we know we're not to do. If we have any discernment at all, the Bible says don't do that. We don't do it. But there are a lot of other things that can come in and feed that old nature. They can get into the heart if we allow them in. The question is, can we discern which nature we're feeding by specific activities in our lives? Things that we're doing, things that we're allowing in, things that we're taking in. Can we discern? This is going to feed my old nature, or this is going to feed my new nature. If we don't have the discernment, the Lord said, make a difference. Make a difference between what is clean and what is unclean. And sometimes those clean things and the difference between them and the unclean things, it was very small. And the average Israelite would have looked and said, surely that's okay for food. But the Lord said, no. You got to be able to discern. And the same thing is true with us. And there are things that come against us and are in our lives and are available to us every day. And many of them, they are feeding our old nature. They're unclean. But we don't have discernment. We're not discerning. We're not stopping to think, how is that show affecting me? How is that book impacting me? How is that music stirring up things in my heart? How is being in this particular environment, being involved in that activity, how is that impacting those seeds of the old nature in my heart? And so many people, especially young people, because I've said it as a young person, that doesn't bother me. It doesn't affect me. That's a lie, isn't it? That's a self lie. It doesn't affect me. Maybe I didn't think it was affecting me. I didn't have discernment. Do we have discernment? Can we say that is not beneficial for my spiritual life? I have been called to holiness. The Word of God, being in the Word of God. Sanctify them through thy truth, the Lord Jesus said. Thy word is truth. The Spirit of God working within us, taking the Word of God and shaping our minds, transforming us by the renewing of our minds that we might think differently. Listening to brothers and sisters in Christ who are more mature than us, or as mature, or who are excited about the things of God, even if they aren't that mature. Learning from them, learning what kind of things can have an impact. Yes, there are things that are obvious. The works of the flesh are manifest, we read in Galatians 5. But there are many things that aren't so obvious. And the Lord wants us to have discernment, to know His mind. The Lord who divided the light from the darkness when He created the universe is the one who divides the light from the darkness spiritually. And He wants us to seek His mind. The question is, do you really want to know? That's between you and God. Do you really want to know what's clean and unclean? Do you really want to know which activities are feeding the old nature and which are feeding the new? Do you really want to know? If you don't expect discernment. Don't expect God to show you. If you don't really want to know, if you want His list so that you can pull the ones out that, yeah, I can do without that. And yeah, I'm going to look down on people who do this thing over here. But I'm going to hang on to the things that I'm putting into my mind. God is wanting holiness. He's not up there with a hammer trying to hit you on the head because you're doing something wrong. God is calling you to holiness, to purity. He's calling you to Himself to make a difference. If you will make a difference, it will make a difference in your life. It will. It will make a difference. Hebrews 5:14 says, strong meat belongs to those who are mature, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. God wants us to have discernment. But there's a second essential, and it's discipline. It's discipline. Back here to Leviticus chapter 20. Notice several phrases beginning in verse 22. Ye shall therefore keep all my statutes and all my judgments and do them. Verse 23, and ye shall not walk in the manners of the nation which I cast out before you. Down in verse 25, ye shall not make your souls abominable. Verse 26, ye shall be holy unto me. These are commands requiring discipline to obey, to follow through. A study was done which checked out the percentage of Americans who own running shoes but don't run. 87% of the Americans who own running shoes don't run. Well, they may do something else in them. But the point is, they have the shoes, they have the equipment, but they're not using them for what they're intended. And we're called to holiness. And God has given us His Spirit so that we can, if we really want to know, if we really want to make a difference, if we really want to discern, we can discern. But if we don't really want to know, we're not going to know. But if we really want to know, and we really want to be holy, and we really want to be set apart to God, not some holier than thou, but rather we want to be like the one whose child we are, as obedient children, He addresses them in 1 Peter. We want to be like Him because He will use us as a testimony in the darkness to draw people to Himself. If we really want to know, He will show us. But once we know, it's still going to take discipline because we've got to step out. We've got to step out. We've got to respond in obedience. And the Lord lists things through the New Testament, and He says, don't even let this once be named among you as becometh saints. Ephesians 5:3. Never let this characterize you. It doesn't become, it's not fitting for someone who's been set apart. And He tells us to put to death certain things. And He tells us to pursue after holiness, to make a commitment and to discipline ourselves, to go forward. And as our brother Bobby spoke Wednesday night on Romans chapter 6, yielding ourselves to God and then stepping out in the reality of what God says He will do. He says He will give us the ability. We have the ability to say no to those things that are very difficult for us to say no to. And we enjoy them and we even think we deserve them. But some of them are feeding our old nature and is leading us to unholiness rather than to holiness. And Satan's laughing. And the world's mocking. Because there's not a difference oftentimes as there should be between light
in darkness. A.W. Tozer said, "We must face the fact that many today are notoriously careless in their living. This attitude finds its way into the church. We have liberty, we have money, we live in comparative luxury. As a result, discipline practically has disappeared." And he asked a question, "What would a violin solo sound like if the strings on the musician's instruments were all hanging loose, not stretched tight, not disciplined?" We've got to take the step, brothers and sisters. We've got to say, "I'm going to obey." We've got to, by the power of God's Spirit, we've got to step out in faith and say, "I am not going to expose myself to that. I am not going to allow that into my heart, because I don't care if 99.9% of the believers in the world think it's okay. I discern that that is not good for me spiritually, because one day I'm going to stand before the Lord Jesus. And it's not going to matter how much fun I had. It's not going to matter how comfortable I was. That's not going to matter to me at all." At all. Brothers and sisters, I'm speaking to myself more than I am to you. But here's the challenge. God said, "Be holy." One more thing. There's got to be discernment. There's got to be discipline. We have got to put shoe leather to what our theology is. Thirdly, there must be devotion. Devotion. Look here in chapter 20, Leviticus. Look at verse 26. Here again is the heart of the Lord. "And ye shall be holy unto me. For I, the Lord, am holy, and have severed you from other people, that ye should be mine." That's what it's about right there. That's what it's about. It's about devotion to Him. Devotion to the one who says, "You're mine. You're mine. I saved you. I redeemed you. I gave my son to die a cruel death for you. And you're mine. I gave my son and I took all of your sin and all of the punishment that you deserve in hell, the lake of fire for eternity. And I put it on Him there at Calvary. And I bought you and you are mine. And I want you to be holy. I want you to be set apart to me." If you're married on your wedding day, you men, you stood there and you said, in essence, and so did you brides, you said, "I am setting myself apart for you, and I'm separating myself from every other woman in the world to you." And you women said, "I'm setting myself apart from every other man in the world to you. And I am devoting myself to you." And that's what God desires from us, that we would devote ourselves to Him. This world is transient. And in 2 Peter chapter 3, Peter, by the Spirit of God, says, "Seeing that all of these things are going to be dissolved, it's all going to be burned up, what kind of people ought we to be in all holy lifestyle and godliness?" Every man that has this hope in him, that the Lord Jesus is coming back, every man that has this hope in him, in the Lord Jesus, purifies himself even as the Lord Jesus is pure. It's a matter of the heart. The Lord Jesus told the Pharisees, "You're worried about the outside of the cup. You're worried about what it looks like on the outside." He said, "What matters is what's on the inside." And in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 21, we read that if a man will purge himself, that he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, and fit for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Devotion. That's what's going to make the difference. That's what's going to make you and me willing to give up things that we feel are legitimate for ourselves and that we want, and that everybody else is doing. We're going to be willing to give up when we're so devoted to Him. I'm His. I was talking to a brother last night. When we were talking about this, I was sharing with him what I was going to speak on this morning. And he said, "You know, sometimes in my life when I come against those things, up to those things are kind of a gray area. I'm not sure. And there's not a commandment." He said, "I remember that, for I am holy." And he said, that makes the decision for me. Makes the decision for me. Devoted to Him. "Be not unequally yoked with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion has light with darkness? And what concord has Christ with Belial or Satan? Or what part hath he believeth with an infidel or an unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord. And touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and I will be a father unto you. And ye shall be my sons and my daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Again, not going out to live as a monk or a nun, but rather living in this world, in this present evil world, with a sinful nature and Satan, the prince of the power of the air, and yet in that environment, living a life that is separated from sin unto righteousness, from this world unto the heavenlies, from self unto God. And is that a testimony or is that a testimony? If people see that, we can encourage each other. Brothers and sisters, we need encouragement. We need to encourage one another to live lives of greater holiness. I appreciate the holiness that I see in so many of you, in so many believers. But you know what? I've never seen anybody that couldn't learn from these scriptures. Be ye holy, for I am holy, saith the Lord. I've not seen anybody who couldn't be holier if they were more yielded. They were more devoted, more discerning, more disciplined. It's there. The Lord has given it to us. A picture in the Old Testament, a commandment, instruction, and empowerment in the New Testament. Praise His name. If you don't know the Lord Jesus, you are missing. Again, I hope you don't think that holiness is dull, because it's not. It's exciting. It's irresistible. The Lord Jesus is the Holy One who knew no sin. If you don't know Him, we would love to tell you more about Him and how you can be forgiven of your sins and you can be set apart for His use. Let's pray. Father, we thank You this morning for the privilege of being together. Lord, it's such a blessing to look into Your Word and to see Your instruction for us there. Thank You, Father, that You don't tell us to do this and then leave us to do it in our own strength. Thank You for the Holy Spirit who enables us to do what You require of us. Father, we pray for discernment. Father, help us to really want to know the difference between what is clean and what is unclean. Father, help us to be disciplined. Help us to step forward and do what we know to be right. Father, help us to be devoted to You, to Your Son, whom having not seen, we love. Father, help our love for Him to grow. Help us to lay our lives on the altar, to be consumed. Father, for Your glory, You are the one who loved us, gave Your Son. Your Son is the precious one who gave Himself. Father, we give You thanks. We come before You confessing our desire for holiness, and we do so in His name, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy One. Amen.